Chapter 58. It wasn't until Kylar was flying through the air that he realized just exactly how far down it was to the river. He had no excuse, really. He'd been dangling out of this very window, looking at this very view not 5 minutes ago. Except now, the view was enlarging. Rapidly. He was going to clear the rocks. That was good. He was also going to hit the river at incredible speed, face first. Maybe a trained diver could have taken such a plunge without harm, but Kylar wasn't a diver. The river filled all his vision, and he flung his hands out, a thin wedge of talent wrapped around him. Then he plunged into the river. His outstretched hands did nothing, but the wedge of talent protected him and drove him under the river's skin like a splinter. The wedge collapsed an instant after he hit, and the water slapped him as brutally as if a giant had clapped his hands together over the whole of Kylar's body. He was dreaming again, if it was called a dream when... When what? The thought dribbled through Kylar's fingers and he lost it. It was the dream he dreamt whenever he'd seen death for the last 10 years. Like always, for a brief moment, he knew it was a dream. He knew it was a dream, but by the time he realized what dream it was, he couldn't pull away. It swelled around him, and he was 11 again. The boat repair shop is dark, abandoned. Cold in the silver moonlight. Azoth is terrified beyond terror, even though he planned this. Now he turns, and Rat is behind him, naked. Azoth edges toward the hole where boats once were lifted from the filthy waters of the Plith, edges toward rope, and the rock tied to it, and the noose he knotted on the end.
"Kiss me again,"
Rat says, and he's right in front of Azoth, hands grabbing at him lustfully.
"Kiss me again."
Where's the noose? He'd put it here, hadn't he? He sees the rock that was supposed to drag Rat to a watery death, but where's the... Rat pulls him close, and his breath is hot on Azoth's face, and his hands are pulling at Azoth's clothes. Kylar hit the bottom of the river with a bump. His eyes flicked open, and he saw retribution inches away from his face. In the shock of hitting the water, it had been torn from his grasp. He was lucky he hadn't cut himself to pieces with it. He was lucky that the silver blade had plunged straight to the bottom with him. Suddenly, aware of the burning in his lungs, Kylar grabbed retribution and pulled for the surface. "How long have I been down here?" It couldn't have been more than a moment, or he would have drifted away and drowned. Seconds later, Kylar was surprised to find himself breathing air again, and uninjured, at least from the fall. His nose and fingers were still bleeding, though, briefly staining the waters around him. The current jostled him up against a rock, and he pulled himself up. He'd washed up on the rocks on the Voss Island side, under East Kingsbridge, directly across the river from the Jadwin estate. The bank of the river where he stood was also the foundation of the castle wall, so to get upstream, he had to half-climb and half-swim. It took him 10 exhausting minutes to get to a point where he could climb out of the water again. The docks where he'd seen Roth were at the northern tip of the island. To get there, he'd have to either continue through the water and the boulders along the river, or he'd have to go through the squat, stinking building that covered the Voss Island crack. Kylar didn't think he could make it over the rocks for another 10 or 20 minutes. Even if Roth were still there when he arrived, Kylar was too weak to go that way. His nose had finally stopped bleeding, and he'd wrapped his hand so it wasn't bleeding too badly. But if he tried to swim, it would bleed again. His hand throbbed, and his whole body felt weak from the blood he'd lost. If it were any other night, Kylar would have left. He was in no shape to attempt an assassination. But logic didn't mean much. Not tonight. Not after what Roth had done. The building on the Voss Island crack was built of stone in a square, 30 paces on a side, and only a single story above ground. It was supposed to be a marvel of engineering, but Kylar knew little about it. He supposed nobles weren't impressed by a marvel that smelled like rotten eggs. It was stupidity to go on. Kylar was so exhausted he could barely even think of using his talent. It took a certain kind of strength of its own to do that. He propped himself against the heavy door, gathering his strength. He was still holding retribution. Looking down at the blade, he stared at the word etched into the blade. Justice. Except it didn't say justice now. He blinked. Mercy. It said in the same silver script, exactly where it used to say justice in black. On the hilt, perpendicular to that, now also silver where it had been Kakari black, it said vengeance. The Kakari was gone. Kylar was so tired, stupid that for a moment he despaired. Then he remembered where it had gone. It went into my skin? Just how tired was he? Surely that must have been his imagination. A hallucination. He turned his hand over, and black sweat suddenly poured from his palm like oil, fluid for an instant, then suddenly congealing into a warm metal sphere. It was midnight black now, utterly featureless. A black Kakari. Logan's stories had mentioned only 6. White, green, brown, silver, red, and blue. Emperor Jorsen Alkestes and his Archmagus Ezra had given them to 6 champions, slighting one of Jorsen's best friends, who then betrayed him. After the war, the 6 Kakari had been objects of great lust, and those who carried them died quickly. Kylar tried to remember the name of the betrayer. It was Achilles Thorn. Jorsen hadn't slighted him after all. By pretending to slight him, Jorsen had given his best friend a way to escape and keep an artifact out of enemy hands. Because no one had known of the Black's existence, Achilles hadn't been hunted. Achilles had survived. Durzo had signed his letter, A. Thorn. Oh, gods! Kylar breathed. He couldn't think about it now, couldn't stop, or he wouldn't be able to start moving again. Help me, Kylar said to the Kakari. Please, serve me. He squeezed the Kakari, and it dissolved, rushing along his skin, up over his clothes, over his face, over his eyes. He flinched, but he could still see perfectly, still see through the dark, as if it were natural. He looked down at his hands, his black sword, and saw them shimmer with magic and disappear. They weren't just cloaked in shadows, as wet boys cloaked themselves. They disappeared. Kylar wasn't a shadow like before. He was invisible. There was no time to marvel. He had work to do. It had been 10 minutes or more since he'd seen Roth on the dock. If Roth was going to die tonight, Kylar needed to move. He picked the lock and stepped inside. The inside of the building was stiflingly hot. Wooden catwalks surrounded a mammoth central chimney 15 paces in diameter. It was made of broad sheets of metal, riveted together, and supported by an external wood frame. The chimney descended at least 4 stories into the ground to meet the natural crack in the earth's crust. Looking into the shadowed depths of the crack, Kylar understood why people called this a marvel. The men who worked here not only harnessed the power of the hot air that blew out of the earth itself, They also kept the Plith River from spilling into the earth. If that happened, the river would boil, the fish would die, the fishermen would be wiped out, and Cenaria would lose its major source of food. Even now, oblivious to the chaos not a quarter of a mile away, men were working, servicing ropes, checking pulleys, greasing gears, replacing sections of sheet metal. Kylar crossed a long catwalk, took a few turns, and found himself at a crossroads where he could get to a door below ground level, or go up to a maintenance door by the outlet of the chimney on the north side of the building, where Roth would be. He went down. The door was set beside double doors used for bringing in huge pieces of equipment. Kylar eased it open, a crack. A young witch was standing outside, her hair pulled back, and veer-marked arms folded. She was looking up a long stone ramp. Someone was talking to her, but Kylar couldn't see the other person. Beyond her were a dozen others dressed similarly. Kylar eased the door shut. He went back to the other branch of the catwalk and opened the door set into the horizontal section of the chimney. Bent sideways, the chimney was more like a steam tunnel here. It was 15 paces across until it pinched down to 4 paces at the last fan. The floor was sheet metal reinforced underneath so the workers could stand inside it as they worked on either the massive fan set just before the chimney turned straight down, or the much smaller last fan before the hot air escaped into the Cenarian night. The northern fan spun slowly enough that Kylar should be able to see Roth through it. He stepped inside, carefully, testing the floor to see if it would squeak as he put his weight on it. It didn't. But even before Kylar closed the door behind himself, he had a vaguely uneasy feeling. Cooled from its long journey up the metal chimney, sulfuric smoke poured sluggishly through the tunnel into the night air outside. Heavy smoke filled the bottom third of the tunnel, curling and rolling. The only light came from the moon outside, but was filtered through the spinning fan. Between the dense smoke and the dancing shadows, Kylar's vision was no better than any other man's. "There's someone here,"